Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today and share this time together. We thank you, Lord, that brought us here, and thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you're a good Father, that you love us, that we have the amazing privilege to be sons and daughters of the King. Let's commit this time to you. And thank you once again for your word. Many years ago, Jesus' disciples came to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus instructed them in this way in Matthew 6, verse 9, he said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, ice water. There you go. There's many scriptures in the Bible that convey God as our Father. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. In Ephesians 4, he says, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In Psalms 68, he says, the Father of the fatherless and the protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. In Malachi, he says, have we not all one Father? Has not God created us? In James 1, says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of change. In Psalm 103, he says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. In 1 John 3, he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. In Proverbs 3, he says, my son, do not despise the chastening or the Lord's discipline, nor be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Taken from, or probably what was quoted in Hebrews 12, where he says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Speaking of the love and the grace and the kindness of our Father when he rebukes us and chastens us. And he does it because he delights in us and he desires us to prosper. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of whom all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the moment, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Romans 8 says, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And that word Abba, Father is an indication of intimacy and something personal and close, not something distant, but something very personal and intimate. One thing that each of us has in common today is that we all have or had a father. And I'm curious to know if anyone would be willing to share, if you just allow your memory to go back, as far back as it can go, what is your very first memory of your father? I know I didn't give you much time to think of this, but if there's anyone here that would be willing to share that with the rest of us, I found that intriguing sometimes to do that in my own life, is just to look back and say, what is my very first memory? What is the very first thing that I remember? And maybe you don't remember anymore, but that is an interesting exercise. But is there anyone here that would be willing to share the very first memory they have of their dad? Yeah, I think we'll just raise our voice today and keep the germs with Abe. Wow, that's a beautiful memory. Precious memory. So. Anyone else? It's good. Good memory. It's left an impression on you, I'm sure. I mentioned that every one of us here has had a father or has a father. I recognize that some of you may have said goodbye to your dads. Maybe they've passed on, no longer here. We've all are at different places with that in relation to our dads today. Some of us are blessed and privileged to still have our fathers with us and part of our lives. And I also recognize that even though we've all had a father, it doesn't mean that dad has always been present in our lives. And I know with the high rate of divorce in America, around the world, there's many children who no longer have their dad in their life. And or maybe dad is there, but not really there. And so just because we've had a father doesn't necessarily mean he's present. There's a high rate of fathers who are in prisons today, unfortunately, and their children are without a dad. And I would just like to actually put something up on the board, some statistics of someone who has done some study on that, and it's actually something that is referred to as a crisis in America, the absence of fathers. And I want to say this to, I want to read this, and I'm hoping that all of us that are fathers here today, could I have a raise of hands of all the fathers sitting here this morning? We have a very vital place in our families, in our children's lives. And I want to say that to encourage you. You know, sometimes maybe we feel unimportant, or we feel like we're maybe not needed, or maybe we feel like Mother's Day's messages always lift up the value of the mother in the home, and we're kind of left in the dust in the back. But I would say that children need both parents, and if one of us is absent, even if we're there but we're absent, the family will suffer. But the father absence crisis in America. There is a crisis in America. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children, more than one in four, live without a father in the home. Consequently, there is a father factor in nearly all of societal ills facing America today. Research shows that when a child is raised in a father-absent home, he or she is affected in the following ways. 4 times greater risk of poverty. 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. More likely to have behavioral problems. More likely to face abuse and neglect. 2 times greater risk of infancy mortality. More likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. More likely to go to prison. 2 times more likely to suffer obesity. More likely to commit crime. 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. 17.7 million children without their father at home. So I think studies like that would simply confirm what we sort of knew already, that fathers are important, and fathers being present in their children's lives is important. And I find it very intriguing to go through the Bible and study the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And I think especially this morning of that time when Jesus was at his baptism and the voice came from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I thought, what son does not long to hear that from his dad? In different ways. You know, I think that as men and as women, sons and daughters, is that not really what we long to hear? "You're my son, and I'm very pleased with you." I think that is music to the soul, that whether we've come to a place where we've recognized it or not, I think that is a deep desire in the heart of every person sitting here today. "You're my son, and I'm very pleased with you." I ask you, and now I'm going to share with you what my earliest memory is of my father. I couldn't tell you the date or the time. I know I was quite young. The earliest memory of my father was him lying flat on his back with a really bad backache. And he was displeased with something that had happened that I'd been a part of. And I just remember him swearing about it. And I remember the insecurity that I felt from that experience. And I remember it pretty much like it happened yesterday, even though it was, I'm 45 now, and I may have been 5 years old. So 40 years ago. My dad back then was very reserved and non-communicative. I rarely, if ever, felt, or much less heard, his affirmation or approval in my life. And I often felt and heard his disapproval. And occasionally I was on the receiving end of his anger and wrath. My father has, to this day, never verbally told me that he loves me or shown any physical affection towards me. I don't have any memories of sitting on his lap or getting hugs from him or hearing words of affirmation. Now, I want to quickly say that I'm sure this happened at some points. I'm just saying this morning that I have no memories of that. And another reason I'm sharing this is because for many, many years, I buried that and denied it and ignored it and didn't acknowledge what it did to me. And that was not helpful to me or to him. Most of my growing up years, I had a very stormy relationship with my dad. I was full of bitterness, I was full of rage, anger. And that's sort of my childhood. A lot of outlets for that was in retaliation against my parents. And I know that I hurt them and grieved them many times. At 17 years old, I met my Heavenly Father. And one of the first things that he started to do was to change my heart towards my father. And the rage and the anger inside began to be replaced with compassion and remorse and regret and a desire, even though I believe the desire was always there, but it was that desire began to be recognized in my own heart. I began to recognize the desire to have a relationship with him. And it's been a rocky road, gone up and down. But you know, I've come to understand that my dad really does love me. And it's been a journey of trying to understand and discover who he really is. And I've found things and ways that I appreciate him that I never saw when I was 14. We enjoy spending time together. I appreciate my dad. If you would meet him today, you would not recognize him as the person I described. He has changed so much. And he's a different person today in many ways. I wish you could get to know him. No, he's an amazing fisherman. He'll get up at 3 a.m, and he'll hitch up his buggy, and he'll drive for an hour or two to the lake, and he'll spend the whole day fishing there, and he'll come home, and he'll fry those fish up in a way that would put a restaurant out of business. And his personality is very, very unique. You know, he had so much good influence in my life. And you know, recently I went through a time where I desperately wanted to hear my dad say, "I love you." I just was gripped with that. I wanted to hear my dad verbally say, "I love you," and to verbally affirm me and approve of me. And God started bringing those years of pain to the surface that I had ignored and buried, and gave me the opportunity to bring it to Jesus and receive healing, emotional healing, at a level that I had never experienced before. You know, and the healing began to happen and continues to happen in direct connection with a fresh and new understanding of my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And so today I want to talk about our Father in Heaven. It's the title of the message. Our Father in Heaven. But before we go there, I just want to say this, that it would be so wonderful to say this morning that all of us here have the same Father, our Father in Heaven. But I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the Pharisees many years ago, and they were trying to lay claims to Abraham being their father, And Jesus reminded them, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. And I realize the very real possibility that there may be people sitting here today that their father is the devil. And the desires of their father, they do. But I just want to put an appeal out to you that you can change fathers. And you can become a son of a good father today. Jesus, or Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, come out from among them. Come out. That's the call of the gospel. You're serving a harsh taskmaster. You're serving a hard father. But he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And so I'm just putting that out here this morning to all of us, that God is inviting us to come to him, and that he wants to be a father to us. And we're going to talk about him, and we're going to talk about what he's like, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about what this father is like. So I invite you to him. I invite you to come home to the Father. And I also invite you, if you are a child of God, if you are a believer this morning, you've been saved, I just want to invite you to come home to your Heavenly Father. Because sometimes we develop a misconception and we believe lies about what our Father in heaven is like. We have a distorted view of what our Father in heaven is like. And I just want to lift up our Father this morning to all of us and encourage us to come and embrace that. One of the realities of life is that none of us is a perfect father. You know, I've never had more sympathy for my own father as I have since I'm a father. And as I started seeing some of the very things that I struggled with in his life, I'm starting to see them in my own life, and I'm seeing my children struggle with me in the same way. And I tell you, I've come on my face before God several times as I realized that, you know, I'm not really any better. But I know that for every one of us here this morning who is a father, I know that deep within us there's a desperate desire to reflect the heart of our Heavenly Father to our children. And I know if we would go around the circle, I'm sure that all of you would be able to share times where you have so messed up on that and you've distorted that image to your children. So I just want to acknowledge that I'm with you. It's one of the things that God has used to get my attention and to help me come face to face with my needs about more than anything else. And I think it's because it's one of the things that is so close to our heart. And so I thank God for that. Although it's maybe some of the most painful things that we go through when we see the way that the defects and the needs in our lives negatively affect relationships that are so close to us. But I want to lift up a perfect father. I want to lift up the model father to us this morning and encourage us to lift our gaze and study him and follow him. Another reality is that our concept of God begins to form very early on in our lives at a very young age, and it is often connected to our concept and our relationship with our earthly father. Some time ago, I filled out this questionnaire about how I feel at an emotional level about my relationship with my dad. So it was multiple questions, and the answers were anywhere from somewhat to very much. And it was questions about my relationship with my dad and how I feel about it at an emotional level. And then on the other page, there was the very same questions about how I feel at an emotional level by my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I was struck with how often my answers were parallel from one to the next. One thing that will hinder me from being to my children what I need to be is if I myself have a wrong and distorted view of my Heavenly Father. Excuse me. A.W. Tozer wrote that nothing twists and deforms the soul more than a low or unworthy conception of God. Our concept of God, our understanding or idea of God is of crucial importance. So what are some of the common misconceptions of God as our Father? Here's some examples. God is weak, and He's not really able to meet all of my needs. I must perform flawlessly to win His approval. His approval of me is based on how well I am able to perform for Him. So His love and acceptance of me is all based on what I do rather than who I am. So if I feel like I did a good job, then I feel like I have His approval. If I feel like I did a bad job, then I feel like I don't have His approval. He loves me, yes, that's true, He loves me, but He loves me because Jesus died for me. But I don't think He really likes me. You know, God so loved the world. And in the world, if you get a really good microscope and you zoom in far enough, you'll find in the world this tiny, tiny, tiny little dot. And if you blow it up big enough, eventually you'll see that it's me. And so when I say that God loved the whole world, yes, I'm that little speck in the whole world. But does God like me? Does my Father actually like me? Does He actually delight in me? Like the scripture says that we read? He's a harsh judge who watches my every move, and He's out to get me. Whenever I come to Him, I feel like I have to, and we used to do this in fun at work when someone was late. I remember one time somebody showed up late. We're all in the shop waiting for him, and he's not showing up, and it's slowing everybody else down. We can't get in the truck and leave until he comes, and so he's a little insecure when he walks in, and he kind of comes in, and he throws his hat in the door. It was all a joke, but And he waits a bit to see if the hat comes flying out. If the hat doesn't come flying back out, then it's safe to walk in. That's a little bit how some of us are with God. You know, we're a little bit uneasy about how he feels about us when we come to him in prayer, especially when we had a bad day or we didn't quite feel like we really did very well. And we kind of approach God in that way, you know. We come up to the throne room of grace and we throw our hat in and we kind of see what the reaction's going to be. He's there, but he's distant and uninvolved. Yes, he received me at the cross. He forgave me for my sins. But that's about it. He's not really involved in my life day to day. He's very much our Father in heaven. He's too busy for me and my petty needs. You know, he's involved in the big, important things. But he's not really involved in the intimate details of each day of my life. He's too busy with the important things. Or he's a bit like Santa Claus, you know. He's there every Christmas to give me some gifts. Just give me things. Someone I can go to when I need something. You know, he gives me presents, but otherwise he's this strange guy that I don't really know that comes from the North Pole. Or he's moody and unpredictable and unapproachable. I don't feel like I can just run to him. You know, the picture of a father coming home from work and his children are just running, just with no hesitation, running, jumping into Papa's arms. God is way too unapproachable and distant and moody. I'm not sure what mood he's in. I'm not sure how he really feels about me today. Maybe there's some things we have to work through, and maybe there's some things I need to apologize for before we can just really have a good time together. And so my prayer time and my quiet time becomes this ritual of wrestling through in my brain and trying to think about all the things I might have done that he didn't like so that I can kind of make them right so that we can have a good time together. So what are some of the steps that we can take to change our concept, our false and wrong concept, our distorted concept of our Heavenly Father? I would say, first of all, just admit how we feel. Be real and admit how we feel. Work through the pain and the hurt of those experiences that have set that emotion. And sometimes it happened really young. Acknowledge the lies that we believed and you reject them. And embrace the truth about ourselves and about God. Choose to embrace and accept God for who he says he is. Commit in your heart today to renounce and reject the lies and believe the truth. Reject the lie that God is distant and disinterested in you, and embrace the truth that your Father is intimate and involved in your life. Reject the truth that your Father is insensitive and uncaring, and embrace the truth that your Father is kind and compassionate. Reject the truth or the lie that your Father is stern and demanding, and embrace the truth that your Father is accepting and filled with joyful love. Reject the lie that your Father is passive and cold, and embrace the truth that your Father is warm and affectionate. Reject the lie that your father is absent or too busy for you, and embrace the truth that he's always with you and always eager to spend time with you. Reject the lie that your father is never satisfied with what you do and that he's impatient and angry with you, and embrace the truth that he is patient and that he is slow to anger and pleased with me in Christ. Reject the lie that your father is mean, cruel, or abusive, and embrace the truth that your father is loving and gentle and protective over you. Reject the lie that your father is trying to take all the joy and fun out of life, and embrace the truth that he is trustworthy and he wants to give you a full life, that his will is good and perfect and acceptable for you. Reject the lie that your father is controlling and manipulative, and embrace the truth that your father is full of grace and mercy, and he gives you the freedom to live as you choose, even when you're wrong. Yes, there's consequences. But even in those consequences, he doesn't kick you when you're down, but he lovingly picks you up. Reject the lie that your father is condemning and unforgiving, and embrace the truth that he is tenderhearted and forgiving, and his heart and his arms are always open to you to run into. Embrace the truth of Psalm 139. You're welcome to go there. It's a beautiful psalm. This is how your father feels about you. This is what he thinks of you. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You formed me in my innermost inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they were more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. There's someone that took the time to compile a large number of scripture and then give a summary of those scriptures. So we're not going to read the scriptures today, but we're going to put it up on the board here. And in the form of a video, we're going to have someone read that to you. And I'm going to send you the link in the WhatsApp after the service, and you're welcome to if you feel like this is something that would benefit you, just take the time, some time, to just go through those scriptures and embrace those realities about God and who He is and who He is to you. And allow the Word of God to wash over you and wash away those lies and those wrong conceptions, to wash away that maybe for some of us years of pain. And and allow the truth of who God is to wash our spirit, because that brings healing and restoration to our soul like nothing else can. So I'm going to close with this, and after turn the time over to the moderator. But yeah, let's just sit back and soak it in. God's love letter to you. Go ahead, Jason, if you're ready with that.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God.